Welcome. You are listening to the Learning to Believe Again podcast with your host, Brittany Bexton.
Where do you begin when you're learning to believe again?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I have Clara Merrill on with me today. Welcome, Clara.
Hello.
So I just want to start, if you could tell everybody just a little bit about yourself and what you do now and what your life is like.
Sure. I am a stay-at-home mother of two beautiful young boys, and one is 7 currently and the other is 3. We have a little hobby farm with all sorts of animals, and I used to be a teacher. I was a teacher prior to this, and so that's staying home and homeschooling my kids is kind of right up my alley currently. I'm in the process of writing a book, and tonight I will be giving my testimony.
That's awesome. Okay. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you.
This is kind of a side note, but Clara has posted a lot about their goats, and I am excited to see more goat pictures and things.
I would love to share them. There will be some babies that will be born, some new kids. Toward the end of February is when they're due. So you'll be seeing lots more pictures.
I always love seeing those videos of goats that bounce all over the place.
Yeah. You'll see those. Probably some videos. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, let's dive right in.
Okay.
So I'm going to just kind of start. I like starting way back because everyone's story is a little different. Some people grew up knowing God and in church, and others didn't and came to him completely later. But did you grow up in church or knowing God when you were young?
I did. I grew up in a Christian family. In fact, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 3 years old. I was really young. I remember saying the prayer and I meant it with all my heart.
I love that. Yeah. It's amazing that you remember too. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a Holy Spirit thing, because how much do we remember from being 3 years old?
Right. Exactly.
I'm not sure I remember anything from that time period. It's hard to say.
Things. Yeah.
Maybe a couple.
Yeah.
So you knew God, you gave your life to Jesus at 3. Mm-hmm. So I guess you walked with God for a while after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So immediately, and I only have memories of having this gift, but you know, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides within us and comes inside, and he gives us gifts. And so one of the main gifts I was given is discerning of spirits. So at a very young age, and since I can remember, I remember discerning some things. I could look at a magazine and I could discern, for example, when I was 10 years old, I was given a magazine, a teen magazine. Yeah. And I could see right on the cover, the face of the model, there was a demon. And it was so strange for my mother, probably, and father, to hear their daughter say, get rid of this thing. I don't want it around. But thankfully, my mother knew what to do. And she did. She burned it. She threw it away. But it's been a very interesting gift. And a lot of people have it. And there's different variations of what we may see. But I did see some of the demonic and angelic, and just sensed some things in my spirit at a very young age.
Yeah.
But God's word also says that His gifts come without repentance. And so even if we live a life of in rebellion and turn our backs on him, we still have those gifts. Now they are not sanctified, you know.
Right.
And so as you will see later on when I discuss some of the later years, I ended up seeing just a lot of demons, you know, just a lot of demonic, because that's how I was living my life.
Yeah.
But the early years were, I love Jesus. It was all about Jesus, right? I sang to him and I loved him with all my heart. The problem was, Brittany, that I did not have a strong foundation in the Word of God. You know, yeah. The Word of God says in Psalm 103:12, excuse me, I'll get to that one. It says in Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And unfortunately, I did not hide the Word of God in my heart. I was turned off by his word. Some experiences happened in Sunday school, and it was a bad taste in my mouth. Yeah. But it's so important to have both the Spirit and the Word of God together. And that is how we're able to face the world.
You know? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, and you know, we're supposed to go line by line, precept by precept, mm-hmm. and it's the truth poured into us. And there are people that twist the Word of God too. So if you're not having the truth poured in, then what do you have to compare it to? It's easy to be deceived.
Exactly. And so there was my problem. So the teenage years rolled around. And we lived in the country. We had a little farm and we lived in the South, and I had the thick accent, which you can probably barely hear now. And we
barely.
Yeah, it's there once in a while, especially when I get around family.
Or you get frustrated or angry or tired.
Yes, exactly. Tired. That's a good one. Which might happen tonight. I'm going to do my best. But so we moved to Minneapolis, our family. We moved to an apartment. We left a nice big home with a lot of land and animals. And we downsized big time and moved into an apartment in the city. And I lost all my friends. Mm-hmm. And I went through a season of not having many friends. And I wasn't very popular. And you know what? People didn't like me. I had a strange accent and I was a country girl and I loved Jesus, right? And so I found that the Word of God and the security and knowing his love for us was not there. I was dealing with rejection and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I didn't go back to the Word of God. So I'm going to fast forward quite a bit to where things get really, really dark. So I lived in rebellion for some years. I tried marijuana. I tried other drugs, which actually I did not like. Because of the gift God had given me, there was always this gateway that was open, this doorway, this realm. And I could see into the demonic every time I did these things. So I hated them. Mm-hmm. I hung out with people that did them, but I generally did not. But I drank and I did get drunk. And I did still sense the demonic, but somehow, for whatever, that was my choice. And when I was 19 years old, it got so bad that I was wanting to commit suicide. Now, you might think, well, whoa, what happened? So she didn't have the Word of God in her heart. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's big. But I believe the lies. And so, as you said, the enemy is so deceptive. He tells us the lie, and it started with that first sin, you know, that first trying, that first weed, or the promiscuity. You have gone too far now. God will never take you back. Look what you've done. And he'll use that first person, right?
Yep. The devil is a liar.
He is a liar. And so for years and years, I just thought, he'll not take me now. He doesn't want me. I'm trash. Why would he take me? I turned my back on him. He doesn't love me. And I believed the lies. And I just kept going in a spiral further and further down. Well, it got bad, so bad that he tried to help me. And he sent an angel to give me a message. I was 19 years old at this point, living on my own. I was going to raves, and now I like the music at raves. Like I said, and not so much the drugs, but I like the music and I like the escape and I like getting out. And I would, loved going on adventures. It was all about having fun. The depression, I had to always fill my life. There was a void. I had to always fill my life with something. So I was running away from God, and he came down in his grace and mercy and sent an angel with a message. Now, there are many different types of angels. a messenger angel has a message from God.
Yeah.
And so they don't even have to say anything. It can just be what they're looking at or what, where you're going. And so that's exactly what happened. Is I was leaving work one night, was going to go to a friend's house and probably smoke some weed or hang out or whatever, get drunk. And so I left work and I usually took the highway, but this time I did not take the highway. I took a side road. And so God must have put that on my heart. It was a very windy road. And I was nearing the curve in the road that went straight. If you kept going, it went straight towards a graveyard. Mm-hmm. And then it followed the graveyard for about a block and a half and then ended up on a county road. So right before the bend in the road and before my eyes were on the road the whole time, I saw an angel appear right before me. And so I slammed on my brakes naturally. And the angel she looked like a woman. Okay. And she's wearing kind of a robe dress, how you would expect them to look. No wings.
Right.
Yeah. But she had long, dark hair. And I've heard it said that your angel often looks a lot like you, your guardian angel.
Interesting. And
I'm naturally a little darker than what I appear to be. And so so she was looking away from me. Her face was turned against me and her face was looking at the graveyard and her right arm was down her side and her left arm was pointing towards the graveyard. And she was focused on that and that alone. That was the message she was given to deliver. Mm-hmm. She didn't turn away from it. And for several seconds, she stood there pointing at the graveyard with her face against me. And then she left just as soon as she had come, the same way I saw her leave before my eyes. Of course, I got out and looked under my vehicle. There was no one behind me, but you know, no one was there.
Yeah.
And so I continued on my way. Now let's pause for a second.
Yeah. And I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you, one, know it was an angel right away? And
yes.
Two, did you know what the message was, or did you kind of have to process that?
That's a good question. Okay. So yes, I knew it was an angel. It was kind of in my knower. I knew that I knew it was an angel. Mm-hmm. Now, someone that is looking from the outside would think, oh, you saw a ghost. You're heading towards the graveyard. In fact, that's what my friend said. Cause I went and I told my friend what happened. I said, no, it wasn't a ghost. It was an angel. Mm-hmm. But I did not discern the message. Why then would he give me that message? Because he wanted me to reach out to him. See, I didn't know the word of God. If I knew the word of God, I would be able to discern what he was saying through the angel.
Right.
But the second thing is he was giving me a chance to ask him, God, what are you saying? Why did you let me see this angel?
Yeah.
I didn't go there. I was just so deceived. I was just so, you know, we look at this world and we think, how can all these people be so deceived? But when you are in the midst of the deception, when you are in the midst of being spiritually blinded, and yes, he let me see the angel and he let me see other things, but I was so spiritually blinded, and I was so lost. and you would think it's hard to explain because I gave my life to Jesus as a little girl.
Yeah.
But I was in complete rebellion. And Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hand, but we have a free will to walk out of the covering of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we do look in scripture, we'll see a couple of passages. And Psalm 34:16 says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. Psalm 1:6 says, for the Lord guards the path of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Where was I headed? I was headed towards death. I was headed towards the grave.
Right.
I was headed towards death. And Isaiah 35:8 says, and the highway will be there, and it will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk in that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about it. I missed the highway that I normally took, and I was on the crooked path, the crooked way.
Yep.
And was it because God loved me? Yes, he loves all of us. And he uses an angelic visitation, or he uses a sermon, or he uses a mother or father or someone in the family or a friend to reach out to us, right?
Yeah.
And so we cannot ever deny that he didn't love us, you know, and that he didn't pursue us. So the next 2 years after that were really dark. I got involved with some really not good people. And at one point, I had a friend who was a drug dealer. And I don't know why we hung out together, because I didn't like his drugs.
Yeah. But maybe that's why. He knew you weren't going to take any.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. I didn't think of that one. And so anyways, and he was, oh, wow. I actually did see one of his demons. It was about 10 feet tall, and it had horns. When you think of ram horns, it kind of had ram horns. It was super tall, and it was super, super powerful. And I think with a drug dealer, it's like they have a huge sphere of influence. It's almost like, it's beyond a community. There's a lot of influence. So I think that certain demonic entities are assigned to certain people, other than little imps and whatever they may be, the stronger because of their influence and their ability to be able to be used by the devil.
Right.
And so we were talking on the couch about something, and his eyes got really dilated, which they did a lot, but his eyes got really dilated, and he stood up, and I was like, okay, what's this? And suddenly his countenance really changed. And I leaned back because I was pushed back in the spirit. I felt it. I didn't see anything, but I felt it. And I was being chained by these invisible chains. I was literally chained to the couch, and it was almost like I was gagged. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't move. All I could do was blink my eyes and breathe. And he started spouting out these names of demons. Now, when we think of the fruits of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, we think of love, joy, peace, kindness, and all of that. And we think of purity. So the opposite of purity is lust, for example. So there could be a demon of lust or death or suicide or all these other things. So he just went on and rattled several of them. And each time he said their name, I felt them come into me. And I think it was through my mouth. I'm not entirely sure. It could have been a different way.
Yeah.
And after that very interesting and traumatic experience, which God has healed me of, thank you, Lord. He came to, and he said to me, don't tell anyone about this. Now, I don't know why he said that, because he must have been with it. He had probably done it before. You know, just like there's deliverance ministers that cast out of people. There are some people that are like a doorway or a gateway. You know, we can walk under an open heaven when we know Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be glory carriers. But there's also the opposite. People who are really sold out to the enemy. Are they too far gone? No. God can save them. They're not beyond God.
They just have to repent.
Exactly. Which I did, which you will see coming up here. And so I got up off the couch because I could finally move. But I felt so weighed down, and I felt such a darkness around
me. Now, I have a question. You said you came to. Did you pass out after that happened? Or did you just...
I was awake the whole... He didn't pass out, but there was something that had changed about him.
Yeah.
I was awake the whole time. So he came to, which he was there, but it was something. It was like a shift.
Yeah.
It was like, it was him again.
Okay.
It was my friend.
Quote unquote.
Not a very nice one at all.
Yeah.
Needless to say, we didn't hang up out much after that. So I, a few months later, just kept going down that downward spiral. I met someone at work, and we liked each other a lot, and became boyfriend and girlfriend, and I became pregnant. He had just enrolled in a school in Florida, college. Mm-hmm. And so I found out when I was pregnant at about 10 weeks, was further along. And he had already moved down there. And so I called him on the phone to tell him. I said, I'm pregnant. I don't know what to do. He said, do you want to keep the baby or would you like to abort it? I said, I don't know. See, this was a gift from God. This was another chance to turn to him. That beautiful gift, that beautiful baby inside me.
Yeah.
But I was so blinded and I was so lost and I was so, I see now with, you know, just clarity, but at the time I was so deceived.
And how old were you then?
I was 21.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was 21 years old and I went to a clinic. See, here's God again. Here's God again. I went to a clinic. He's so good. And I had a check and it bounced 3 times. Huh. That's God.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that as a sign. Now looking back, I would say there he was again, looking out for me, yeah, trying to reach out to me. Look, he gave me another sign after sign, yeah, after sign, but I didn't see it as a sign. I probably yelled some profanity, was upset, and went to another clinic and they accepted my check. Hmm. Or I think I paid with a different payment. So I went in the clinic and I won't go into complete detail, but basically you meet a counselor or a psychologist and they, at least this is how it was for me, they convinced me that it was my baby, the embryo was not human yet and had no feeling. And that it was just almost like a surgery, you know, a regular outpatient surgery. So then I went into this waiting area and then they called me and I went and watched a video and then we went and sat and waited again. And then I was called into the examination room, put on my robe. Now there were 2 nurses and a doctor. One nurse loosely held my hand, my right hand, as so as to comfort me. There was a doctor and a nurse at the end of the examination table. And here is God again. Hmm. And he is so good. The veil was lifted again. And I saw the demons in each of them. Hmm. Like I didn't see their face anymore. Transposed over their faces. I saw demonic entities. Each of them were smiling with this sinister, wicked smile at me, as to if to say, I have you now. And so God was giving me another chance. Look, yeah, this is what it is about, Clara. Do you see what it's about?
Yeah.
And I just froze in terror. I mean, I don't know how many demons I had, but no excuses. We have no excuse, no excuse. And I had one more chance and God is so good. And I did not take the chance. And so they successfully performed the abortion. Okay. So do you have any questions?
No, you're on a roll.
I mean, on a roll.
I feel like you were about to say something more about that. So I'm going to let you say that. And then I might have one.
Yeah. Okay. This is still uncomfortable, not completely uncomfortable. God has healed me completely. And you're about to find out about that as well. But there is this, there will always be a sadness in my heart, especially now knowing how he tried to intervene. And and I remembered all of those, but also that I will never be able to go back and remake those decisions.
Right.
But there's also a hope because I know that my baby is in heaven and that I will be joining my baby someday. And I also have that hope. So,
you gained that hope later, obviously, when you really started listening to God again. But after that experience, how was it for you at first?
The enemy hated me. I think he knew God was still pursuing me. And honestly, if I didn't know scripture, I would say, I don't know why. But now knowing scripture, he loved me. Believe it or not, he loved and died for the worst of sinners.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a living example and testimony of his forgiveness. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
He is after the murderers. He's after the adulterers. He's after the fornicators. He's after the homosexuals. He's after the drug addict. He's after someone who hurts children. That one is hard for me, but he can forgive any sin. And I think a lot of Christians don't realize, and I didn't either, how forgiving he really is. It's not all of these sins, but this one, or all of these sins, but these few. But as far as the East is from the West, so far will he remove our transgressions from us, so long as we repent. And so his forgiveness is something else.
For sure.
Amazing.
Right after the abortion, did you deal with a lot of guilt for a while?
Oh, and the guilt, the suicide. I didn't have a lot of Christian friends at that time. I wasn't pursuing God. I didn't hear much from him, but I know my mother was praying. Mm-hmm. And so the hound of heaven was still after me. And so mothers and fathers and friends continue to pray, press in, because these encounters will come. And that is what is needed. That is what is needed. I was in such darkness. I needed that encounter, as do all of our lost friends and family members. So here's the encounter. It was very dark right before the encounter.
Yeah.
Satan hated me. Yeah.
Question.
Yes.
How long after the abortion happened did the encounter happen?
1 year.
Okay.
1 year. Yeah. Yeah. But I realized how much Satan hated me in that year. Before, I was still kind of having a little fun. But after that year, I realized how much he hated me. He hated me so much, and I could feel it, and I knew it. It's like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know. And so, so I was on my way to the kitchen one day. It was early spring in 2002, and I was hungry. I just had food on my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my thoughts were interjected. They were not my own, with a sweet voice. And the Lord said, Clara, surrender your life to me. You'll not regret it. He said, you're going to lose most of your friends, but I have such good plans for you. And so I thought of two things immediately. First was, oh my gosh, he still loves me. Oh my gosh, God still loves me. He still wants me. He can forgive me of all my sins.
Yeah.
And the other thing was losing friends. You know, that's okay. I wanted actually to get rid of everything in my life. Of course, I kept a couple of good friends that I'm still friends with, but I was okay with dumping it all. I'd had enough of me. I was at what, you know, when they say he or she reached the end of the rope. Well, I reached the end of my rope. I wish I would have reached it earlier than some of this, but here's the thing is, God is a God of redemption. And because of his blood covering all this, I'm able to help others who have gone through the same thing, you know? And so there was a miraculous thing that happened. So I said the sinner's prayer. He said that, you know, he reached out and I said the sinner's prayer that goes something like, yes, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Come fill me. And he did. I suddenly felt the Holy Spirit fill me. I felt many demons leave. Not all of them left. I still had to deal with some after that. And that's okay. And that's normal because his grace is sufficient. But the Holy Spirit was now in me and everything else was on the outside.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything inside but God. And God had filled me with his love and his peace. I'd never felt such joy. Mm-hmm. I'd never felt such just the purity and the love was so strong. And I got this really, really, you know, I went to the kitchen to get something to eat. And it's funny how God works. He filled me with this sudden hunger to read his word. I'd never had a hunger for the word of God.
Yeah.
And you know how in scripture, how he calls the word of God, you know, it's like the bread. It's like, and so I had this immediately hunger, and my mother had just bought me a Bible the Christmas, if it was a few months before. And I went and got it off the shelf, never looked at it. And I got it and I opened it up and sat on the couch And I start new to start in the New Testament. I had heard that probably as a child. Mm-hmm. And so I looked in the New Testament and I started in Matthew, and I, for the first time, could understand what I was reading. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But there was still some guilt. He had taken so many things, but he wanted me to be delivered and healed right. a different way. And I spent so many nights just crying, and he was, you know, like, my grace is sufficient for you. And yeah. I trusted in him in this process.
And unpeeling.
But, I'm sorry.
The unpeeling.
Yes, it was. And in fact, it's interesting you say that, because I had an unpeeling. I went to a Bible study about a year after I was mm-hmm. gave my life to the Lord, rededicated, whatever you want to call right. it. And so no one there knew about the abortion. I tended to not speak about it.
Yeah.
Which made sense, because I was still healing. And so there was a lady there, and she was from Africa, and she was this prophetic lady, you know, and everyone's like, oh, cool. And she was a missionary from Africa.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, and she finger traced a cross on my womb. She just walked up to me and finger traced a cross in my womb and said, the cross of Christ covers your womb. Jesus covers your sins. And I just started weeping.
Yeah.
So that was the first big layer. And then I had another encounter sometime after that, where I went to another Bible study with a different folks. And there was a couple there ministering, and it was a Bible study. And at the end, they were giving prophetic words. And so I walked up, and the lady, you know, said a few things to me that, and some of them were about the future that actually just came to pass not long ago.
That's amazing.
And, isn't it? Oh, yeah. the ministry of the prophetic is so powerful.
So powerful.
Yes. And so, she also said something at the end, and she said, she started looking up like she was looking into heaven, and she was seeing into something. I had an open vision, and she said, she is so beautiful, your daughter.
Oh.
She said, she looks like you.
Oh.
Yeah. And she said, you have to name her, give her a name. So I did. And after that, that guilt was gone.
Yeah. I mean,
there was times it took a few years to really just completely, but that was the main run of it.
Yeah.
So one more major encounter I'm going to talk about, if there's time. How are we doing on time?
We're doing fine.
Okay. That really solidified. I dealt with a lot of rejection, which I didn't get into. A lot of rejection in my past. I think that's kind of normal for a lot of people.
I think especially people that walk in the prophetic and such, because we see a lot of things that other people don't really comprehend, and it can be hard to connect fully.
It can be. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know about that one. Wow. But isn't he? Oh, he's so good. He loves us so much. And if you can, and anyone listening can get anything about this, is how much he pursues us, how much he loves us.
Yes.
And he's such a good God. But as you saw when I had the warning with the angel coming down, he's also so holy, and he's just, and we really are accountable. You know, we really are accountable for our actions, our words, and what we do. But when we ask for forgiveness and his blood covers and blots that out, you know, oh, wow. Okay. So that's what this is about. So I'm just going to speak about one. Let's see. It was, I think it was early April of 2004. So this was 2 years after I gave my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That was 18 years ago. Yeah. Time flies. I was driving from the gym, getting ready to go take a shower and get ready for work.
Uh-huh.
I heard this sermon, and I can't tell you who it is. Remember when we used to listen to the radio?
Oh, yeah. Back then.
Yeah. So it was a sermon, and I don't remember anything much except for it was based off of, where was it? Well, it was in Matthew. And where Jesus says, if you forgive others their sins against you, God will forgive you your sins. And I'm not verbatim on it. I had it right written down here. Can't find it. But so it was about, wow, if I forgive others for sinning against me, God will forgive me my sins. And so, yes, he'd already forgiven me my sins. But then comes the test as we start to mature, right?
Yeah.
So I went to work just so elated by this revelation. Like, yes, this is it. Because there were some people that I worked with that hated me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was a nerd a little bit. But I love Jesus. And that's not the nerdy part. There's nothing nerdy about that. I'm talking about my idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
But those aside, I love Jesus. Look at what he took me from. Look at what he did for me. You know, those who are forgiven much love much. And okay, I wasn't pushy about the gospel, but you know, I shared with those who wanted to hear and I wasn't ashamed. And so, long story short is I was just on my way to work and I was listening to Third Day Offering album. Uh-huh. It was the third song, Your Love, O Lord.
Oh yeah. Gracious to the Heavens.
Yeah.
That one.
That one. And really the whole album, but that one kind of stuck out. I was listening to that one a lot. Got to work. It was about a 35 minute drive. Went to work and the Spirit of God filled me really, really strong, like never before. I was seriously walking around on earth, but I was also situated in heaven. You know, Word of God says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yeah.
And that was me. And that's all of us now. That's all of us now seated with, just think we can do that. We can go there. But there was something a little different happening, you know, that evening. I was about to have some healing. And so it was amazing. I got to work and I couldn't get my mind off of Jesus. Like, I don't know how I was serving tables, but I was. I don't know how I didn't spill anything, but I was serving tables and I was worshiping Jesus. And suddenly I could tell like my face was glowing. Like, I could see through my eyes. No, and I'm not talking a pregnancy glow or like whatever. I'm talking about my... I could see through my eyes a light and I could almost see kind of a like a light bulb was going off.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on? But I didn't care. I was just like, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you. I couldn't stop. I with everything. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right.
Yeah.
And this guy that I work with, I'm sorry if I'm talking too fast.
No, you're good.
I'm not really giving you much of a chance to.
It's okay. I'll pause you or tell you I need to interject if I have a question.
Raise your hand or something. My dad always used to say, Clara, you talk a lot when you're nervous. And I was like, maybe I'm a little nervous this evening, but I'm so excited. Yeah, this is super exciting.
I've always said that, you know, I'm a performer. So I learned a long time ago that nervousness and excitement are really the same emotion. Oh. They're the exact same chemical reaction in your body. So if you can just remind yourself that you're excited and not nervous, it shifts the whole mentality around.
I love that. That is so good. Thank you. And something just shifted there. You know what? You just, the peace that came out of your mouth. Wow. And so that was cool. Thank you, Lord. So there's this guy that worked there and he was into witchcraft. And he liked to send things my way, you know, one of those.
Of course.
It's like, you know what? It's not going to faze me. I forgive him because you know what? Jesus forgave me all my stuff. He forgave me all of that. As far as East is from the West, how can I not forgive him? So I was living that out. And because of Christ in me, not because of me, my flesh wanted to do anything about that. But he was strong in me. And so this guy looked at me and he's like, looked like he was looking at a ghost and he starts backing up. He couldn't get his eyes off me. He starts backing up.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, I worked with him and he just hated my guts, but he was like, He said one thing. He said, "Clara, you look different." And then I didn't see him the whole rest of the night. He avoided me.
Oh, you're like, so, what? I'm glowing?
Yeah, this is out of the ordinary.
The light scaring you?
You know what, though? The Lord has told me something, and he's told me that this is going to be happening. Now, this was 18 years ago, and it happened then, and it's happened to Moses, and it's happened all throughout scripture. You know, David glowed, and we all glow. Like, you know, if you've seen someone filled with the Spirit, it's like you could tell there's that glow.
Yes.
And sometimes the glory is heavier than other times, but there is a time coming when we're going to be walking in that more and more. Our mind and our whole being is going to be so just situated on God, just so situated on Christ, that we are going to be walking in the glory more and more. And so I look forward to that day because it's pretty awesome. You know, nothing will bother you in the glory.
Right.
Yes. So there's coming a time when we will be walking more and more. The Lord really impressed that upon me, that it's going to be more of a norm. You know, and it's going to be kind of a necessary thing for what's coming, but it'll be all right. You know, everything, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Yes. And so, I left work, I went home and I drove home and I was just praising the Lord like I've never praised him before. And got home, I was staying with my parents on the weekend, going to college during the week. And I ran in to see them. They were asleep. And I said, "Mom and Dad, if God has forgiven us our sins, you know, we have to forgive others' sins." And so went back and got ready for bed and then just put the worship back on, put my headset. We didn't have earbuds then. Put my headset on my CD player and laid down, got to the third song of the third day. That was kind of my album then. And suddenly Jesus appeared at the foot of my bed. And it wasn't like a normal vision, you know, how the visions can be kind of transparent or.
Yeah.
He was dimensional. He was like all man, all Jesus and in glory, his glory. And all he was doing was smiling, a really big smile. And he had his arms outstretched, like, "I accept you," is what he's saying. "I love you." Yeah. And I couldn't do anything, but just, I was just frozen and just worshiping him and all my being was on him. And it was the most amazing experience. And, I needed that, you know, and for whatever reason, he did that. And oh my goodness, I'm wrecked because since then, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people have had dreams and visions of Jesus and you're never, it's just like, I just want to see you again.
Yeah.
Behold you again and be with you. I mean, just imagine when we go to heaven, we're going to be worshiping him, but it's not going to be a monotonous kind of thing. It's just like what we are meant to do. And you know all about worship. You are a worshiper.
Yes. There's no better place to be than worshiping. It doesn't matter what's going on or how chaotic everything else is. There's a stillness and a peace and an energy and a vibrancy in worship.
Amen.
My pastor says, you know, we say holy now, but we think, why do we say holy? But the angels and everyone that's in God's presence, like, he is so powerful. He's so mighty. He's so glorious. He's so beautiful that there are no words but holy.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That is good.
It, right?
True.
Like, that's the only word that you can say because the awe of God is just so great. You said something about how, you know, as the glory kind of grows and it's going to have to, but it's okay because God's over it. It made me think of a verse that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard against the enemy.
Yes, that is so true. And exciting days ahead.
Yes.
Exciting days now.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen more miracles and signs and wonders in the last 2 years than ever before in my life, I believe.
Yes. Oh, we were meant for this, Brittany. Yeah. We were meant for this.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be.
It is. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of people that haven't seen that yet.
Yes.
But it's so real. Mm-hmm. I mean, God really, he really still does miracles. It's not just something that happened in biblical days. He is still in the business of miracles. He is still God on the throne. And now we get to have God in us and we get to hear from him on the regular if we choose to listen to his voice.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Should we say a prayer over all this?
Yeah, let's say a prayer. But actually, I want to ask you one more question first. If you could leave the audience with one nugget to take with them from this whole episode, what would it be?
Absolutely. However far you may have drifted from God, or maybe you've never known God, I urge you to consider that today be your day to receive all he has for you, his plans for you, and his forgiveness, which will cover all your sins. He is a healer. He will set you free. He will deliver you, and he will love you with an everlasting love. He will guide you. He will speak to you, and he will use even all that you did in the past to mess things up or others messed up in you, which can all work for your good and his glory, all of it. And so I encourage you now, if you would like to consider giving your life to the Lord, if you'll repeat after me this simple prayer of salvation, if you're not ready yet, that's okay. I will pray for you as well. Okay. So repeat after me if you are ready. Jesus, I believe that you are God and that you died on the cross and you rose from the grave so that I can be forgiven of all my sins and live with you forever. So please forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your spirit and teach me how to live for you.
Yes.
Help me to understand and know your word and find a good Bible-believing group of people or church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And for those of you who are not ready yet but are curious, I would like to pray for you as well. Father, thank you for everyone who is listening. And thank you for every life that you created. Everyone equally precious to you. You're not a respecter of persons. You love us all the same. And you love us all so much. And you died for all of us. And some of you might be thinking, does God have such a thing for me? Does God have... could I have an encounter like that? Could I have my life turned around? Or you might even be thinking, you know, my life is okay, but I want more. I just come before you, God, and I ask, Lord, that you would show them the more that you have, that you would show them the plans that you have for them that were written before they were ever conceived. Before time began, the plans that are in heaven in your book that are written for each and everyone listening. Yes. And that you would reveal this to them in a dream or a vision or through some other encounter. And that when this happens, I ask in your name, Jesus, that the veil is lifted.
Yes, God.
So that they can really see and really know what you have for them and how good and wonderful and amazing it is. I thank you, and we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. And I just feel led to say, if you are a believer, if you've been a believer, even if you've rededicated your life, but you're still dealing with pain and difficulty and heaviness, God is a God of healing, and he loves us, and he will peel away those layers. So just keep seeking him. And he will keep meeting you there, and he will keep peeling away those layers. Mm. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Sometimes that happens in an instant, and sometimes it's a process. But he is faithful. He is faithful.
He is.
Let him speak into whatever situation you are dealing with, because he loves you so much and he is so good. And we've been skating around this verse a lot, but in Genesis 50:20, it says, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and used it for good, even to save the lives of many. He doesn't just turn around the things that we go through. He doesn't just heal them. He even redeems them by using them for greater. So I just want to leave you guys with that. Thank you so much, Clara, for joining me tonight. It's been such a pleasure to have you. And to the listeners, I will talk to you next time.
Bye. When you're learning